Good morning. It's good to be here. It's really good to be here. No, and in retirement, I can't hear it. In retirement, I've been asked this many times this morning. Do I miss it? I don't miss the Sunday to Sunday thing that we have. But you know, I miss you. I miss you. My name, by the way, for some of you, I see unfamiliar faces, which is great. But my name is Jerry Graham, in who Christ dwells and delights, and I live with him in his unshakable kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. It is good to be here this morning and to share in God's glory and the people of his kingdom. He is an awesome God who blesses us abundantly and without limits. And as I always say, love God, love people, and live it. We are called to serve him in his wonderful kingdom. So, what am I doing in my retirement? I was asked that 6 times this morning. Okay? I am still a devoted Tiger fan. And I say that carefully in this Cleveland land. Still a devoted Tiger fan. I am loving to see my grandchildren, although I don't see them often enough. I am loving getting up every day and going swimming. I'm still doing my hot tub ministry for some of you that want to know. Okay? I am blessed to speak to somebody about Christ at least once a week. All through swimming. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm driving my wife crazy. Which is a promising thing, I think, because she needs excitement in her life. Driving her crazy. She says that I have now become more predictable and more organized than I ever was a few years ago. I don't understand why lining your shoes up and putting your t-shirts in order is that big of a deal. But I take after my wife. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. The biggest thing about retirement, as I tell everybody, it's about choice. It's about being able to say yes. It's about being able to say no. But most of all, it's about living for God. And I feel that in the last couple of years, I have been in his presence and his kingdom more than ever. When it comes to speaking someplace, I'm always wondering, okay, what do I talk about? Because I used to be organized. I used to have series of youth lessons. I would know for 10 weeks in advance what I was going to talk about. And although I have probably delivered hundreds, literally hundreds of talks through 40 years of serving our God, it's always fresh. There's always something different. Always something new. One of the things I usually do is I camp out, much to my wife's distress. I have a table sitting in the front room that's usually piled high. I have my basket of books and my CD player and my prayers and everything that I pretty dutifully do every day. I spend time with God. And God has blessed me immensely with the time that I spend with God. And that brought me to my subject today. Prayer. You know, what is it all about? I still know from my youth days that if I asked somebody to pray for us, I would get immense silence. It was always easy to get the kids quiet because I would just ask them, would somebody pray for us? And they know what I'm talking about. But there's a wonderful world of prayer. The interesting thing about prayer, though, is that it's always changing. My wife has no idea what I'm going to talk about this morning. Didn't share it with her a bit. But she probably would never believe that I got the idea for my sermon today from the cat. From the cat. Couldn't believe it. Our cat, we lost one of them, I don't know, about a year ago? Some time ago. I know I can walk carefully through the house now. I don't have to walk so carefully. 6 months. But our cat has become mellow. And I don't understand this. All of a sudden, this cat that hated us, hated me, didn't want to sit on anybody's lap, has become Connie's best friend. I think it's a reprieve for me. But even this morning, I was reminded as I sat in the living room about how I got the idea for my sermon. And the interesting thing, and I knew it was right on track, because my wife even mentioned it in conversation out in the lobby today. If you notice, on a nice, bright, sunny morning, our cat will go into the living room, and that cat will lay in the sun. And as the sun moves from place to place in our living room, the cat moves. The cat changes. And you know, I thought, that cat's got something here. That cat is living in the sun. Amen. Or the light, or we could do all sorts of other. But this cat moved. And of course, the cat looks like it's always praying, although I don't know if it's praying or sleeping. I'm pretty sure it's sleeping. But isn't that supposed to be where we are at? In the sun. In the light. Living in God's world. Soaking up all the love and benefits that He has. And just letting Him take care of us. As you enter the celebration of the 75th year of the Mount Haley Church of God, it is with great humility and privilege that I was able to share in that glorious history of this church. The 6 years, 5 years I was here were some of my best years. In a church that has prospered, that has endured, and stood the test of time, of bringing glory to our God and Savior, I will always be grateful for the friends and time I had here at Mount Haley. It will be a blessing in my life, and I thank you. One of the great attributes of Mount Haley is the portraying of the truth of the gospel, and especially in being a church that believes in prayer. Prayer catapults us to the frontier of life. Prayer is all about changing. And a lot of changes have happened around here since I was here. The light has come in. It's cool. I like it. Prayer is the central avenue that God uses to transform us or to change us. Prayer was a central way of life for Jesus. And as Scripture says in Mark 1:45, Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Amen. And I don't even think you have to go to that solitary place. You can be in prayer right here. Sunday morning is a prayer. Sunday morning is a miracle. This is a pattern of life that our Christ employed in his daily life and ministry. And we can name many examples of Christ not only going with his disciples to pray, but he also prayed in communion with God, his Father. Now, when we use communion as a general word in the church, we always think of coming to his table. Okay? And it's a very holy time. It's a very silent time. It's a very solitary time for each of us to have communion. But you know something? I think that prayer is communion with God. It's as if God was sitting right here with us, walking through our day, living our life, being here in his kingdom. Time with God is what prayer is all about. We are always in communion with Christ. Communion is not only a sacrament of Christ we practice and celebrate with other Christians, but it's a verb of action, sharing of thoughts and feelings with Christ our Lord. God always meets us where we are. We don't have to be here. We can be anywhere. But God always meets us where we are. It is not only us speaking to us, but him being in the rhythm of our life and communicating. And if things cannot be changed, why pray? Think about it. If things cannot be changed, why pray? We may feel this way, but the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does teach that prayer changes our life. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Prayer, communion with God, causes us to be in the kingdom of God. He wants to dwell with us within his kingdom. God really has no interest where we're at. Okay? Whether it's in a getaway or a cottage or camping or wherever it's at, God, I don't think, really cares. He just wants to be with you. We can't get away from him, so we might as well enjoy him. Think about it. He always wants you under his roof, now and always. He wants you in church. He wants you to worship with other people. He wants to be your mailing address, your point of reference. He wants to be in your home. He wants to be in communion through prayer. And for some of us, this is a new thought. We think of prayer as the different times in the service. We think of God as a deity to discuss, not a place to dwell. We think of God as a mysterious miracle worker, not a world to live in. We think of God as a creator to call on, not as a home to reside in, but to be in communion with. Our Father wants to be so much more. He wants to be one in which we live and move and have our being. That's why he taught us to pray. And how often do we pray? Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Prayer offers us communion with God because we are His children. Do you feel like a child of God? Are you a child of God? Now, I know some will question this, but as I have hopefully matured throughout my life, I have seen how prayer has made a difference in my life and the ministry He has given me. Even here at Mount Haley, He answers the phone. Even here at Mount Haley, we felt the prayers of the prayer partners that we had in our youth. We felt the prayers of the prayer line that went out. We felt the prayers that we prayed on Sunday morning. There was a lot of prayer here. And God looked down and said, that was good. That is good. We felt those prayers whenever we went on a youth trip or some adventure of a mission trip or a convention. Even while we were raking, I was kind of amused this morning because if I had to give one of my top 10 reasons for retiring, one of them was so for 40 years I raked somebody else's yard. Loved every minute of it. But now, as you said, Geraldine, I raked my yard this year, and it almost killed me. And Lord God, bless her heart, Olive, I don't know how we ever did that. But God was with us each and everything. And your prayers, while we did all those things, were the most coveted things that I experienced in ministry. There was nothing better for me in ministry than to be told, I'm praying for you, Jerry. I always took that deep into my heart, treasured it, and took care of that, and prayed back. Because we don't pray enough. As a former youth speaker, I think, and I was told this when I retired from teaching too, I'm a storyteller. I'm a storyteller. So I had to tell one story that involved prayer. I remember a youth IYC trip, convention and mission trip that we took with the old East Ashman Church of God back many years ago, back in the day. All of you know where East Ashman is. You know about IYC trips. And we're registered and going this year. We haven't missed one in how many years, Connie? Oh, you're longer than me. But we're very excited about that. But we were leaving the mission after our convention, heading towards a welcoming hotel. God's calling again. Different person this time, though, right? We were leaving the mission with our from our convention, heading towards a welcoming hotel with showers and food and rest after our last day of hard work in our mission project. We were dirty. We were grimy. We were grouchy. It was quite the day. As we arrived at the hotel, which I had checked on reservations that morning and the day before, okay, prior to our arrival, we were to discover that they had no listed reservation for us. And there was no room at the inn, so to speak. What was I going to do with more than 30 or more sweaty, dirty youth and counselors waiting in the parking lot for me to come back with room keys. What was I going to do? I was asking a lot of questions at that point, like, why, God? Have you asked that question before? Many of us have. Why, God? While desperately praying for a solution and calling home even for prayer and advice, well, there were no reservations. Well, the hotel sent us down the street to another hotel, wishing us luck in getting rooms. When you have 30-some rooms, you always make advance reservations. 30-some people. This was actually a better hotel. And they had lodging for us. Prayer answered. So I'm thinking, this costs more, but I do have a credit card. And as I often said on youth trips, we'll deal with that later. God does miracles, though. When I inquired about the cost, they told me that it was completely covered and paid for. Wow. I was amazed. This was a miracle of God. I had the cash. That was back when we carried cash instead of checks and a lot of different things. But I had a cash, an envelope full of money for another hotel. But I knew it wasn't going to be enough. I knew it wasn't going to be enough. I'm thinking, wow, that's an answer to prayer. But my curiosity got the best of me. And I asked, what was the cost of the bill for this hotel? And then I was completely awestruck. The bill was the exact amount of the check that we had given at the International Youth Convention for the Spread the Word offering. As some of the youth know, that every time we worked, when I was here at Mount Haley, every time we worked, we always took 10% off the top. And that was a tithe. And we saved it to give at the International Youth Convention that we were going to go to as our offering, as our tithe, the 10%. And it was the exact amount. The hotel bill was the exact amount that we gave in our offering. Now, I couldn't have dreamed of a better thing to tell the kids of how God works and how He answers prayer. Devotions that night were life-impacting as we discussed the power of prayer and obedience and tithing. After, I still had that envelope full of money, after I took them all out to eat. And taking 30 people out to eat is not cheap. But God blessed us. And the thing that I thought about that was, the whole time we were on that trip, I knew that at home we had people praying for us. I had always called these trips, and some of you will testify to this, some of you kids, that it's a divine appointment that we have with God. This is a divine appointment, and that people are praying for you, and God wants you there for a reason. So the kids saw that and were just awestruck, because God is good all the time. We ate well. It was a better hotel. And a side note, the guys really liked it because there was a girls' softball team there too. As a couple of them said, "What a blessing, Jerry." And I laughed at them because they were college girls. You don't have a chance. Think about it. We are all working with God to determine the future. It isn't just about sharing our burdens, requests with Him. It's about being in communion with Him. We are to change the world through our prayers. Real prayer is something we learn, as we heard earlier. We are taught to pray. And perhaps the most astonishing characteristic of Jesus praying is that when He prayed, He never concluded by saying, "If it be thy will." Jesus didn't have to say that. Jesus was always in God's will. Even in His last days of ministry before the crucifixion, it comes closest. Jesus said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Christ was sharing and participating in communion with God, trusting that His Father knew what was best. Christ loved us so much that He died for us. Prayer is a journey and a learning process. Why is it important to think of prayer as a learning process? Well, prayer is to religion what original research is to science. When we make decisions, we research, we explore, and we ask questions. We want our decisions to be based on sound guidance. In John 15:7, it says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Now, he did put an "if." If you remain in me. Seems like this is a much better process than we could ever imagine. Listening to God is the necessary prelude to intercession. The beginning point in learning to pray for others is to listen for guidance. Success in the small corners of life give us authority in the larger areas of life. Prayer should be practiced in every aspect, in all areas of life, and every day. Being in communion with God is what He means when He says, "Pray without ceasing." We should never make prayer too complicated, and we do that. Jesus taught us to come like children to His Father. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. Children also teach us the value of imagination. You know, imagination is a powerful tool in the work of prayer. God is about whatever our imagination can fathom while being in communion with God. God is in the business of miracles, God sightings, and more than anything, He loves you. In every sermon and gathering of His people can be a display of His miracles. When every person is tuned in and praying while the pastor is speaking, miracles are going to happen. We don't know what each one is, but miracles are going to happen. Just watch. We must never wait until we feel like praying before we pray for others. Prayer must be a discipline of daily living. Now, there are several misconceptions that defeat the work of prayer. We often believe, and we get trapped in this, that prayer mainly involves asking things from God. And I would say most churches every week emphasize requests. Now that I've stepped away from it, I can say that. Prayer is growing perpetual communion with God, not just making requests. And I was so tickled when you said you had praises this morning. We need to have praises every week. We're alive, we're breathing, we're here, the sun is shining. But God, it could be a little warmer. But churches and Christians fall into this. Prayer is often viewed always as a struggle, always concentrating on the burdens that we have in life that are trapping us and causing us great anxiety. That's a misconception. Prayer is about life and changing life. Another conception, misconception, is that we live in a closed universe. We believe that God has it all planned out, which he does, and that nothing can be changed. So why pray? If he's got it all figured out, what are we praying for? But we are in communion with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are co-workers in God's service." You are in God's field, in God's building. Did you hear that? Co-workers. Often things happen because we're all praying with God. Don't just let it happen, but answer your prayer and our prayer. We are working with God to determine the outcome of things. It needs to be said reverently, but it does need to be said. We are co-creators with God in advancing his kingdom on earth. He needs us. Not as much as we need him, but he needs us. Another thing we grapple with is the fear that our faith will crumble if our prayers are unanswered the first time, every time, or the way we want them. We lose many people. I've run across many people due to prayers that weren't answered the way that they desired. A sister died. A kid didn't get the scholarship. I could go on example after example. But we often forget, especially in cases of healing, that the ultimate healing is always greeting God in heaven. That is the ultimate healing. And we should be celebrating. But God always knows best. He knows when it's our time. That's one of the things I notice, that the people in the paper are looking a lot closer to my age. And I'm thinking, wow, God, I'm living another day. You've given me breath. You've given me a smile. You've given me a home, a wife. How much more can you bless me? The last misconception of prayer is the common teaching. Pray once, any more then shows that it's a lack of faith. I would never tell anybody they have a lack of faith. Never. We are never to determine how much faith a person has. Frankly, this flies in the face of a great deal of biblical experience and teaching of Jesus, especially in his parables. We are to keep at the work of prayer, mainly, I think, because we are in the channel through which God's life and light flows into individuals and situations. Again, prayer must be a discipline of daily living. So, as we enter the next 75 years of Mount Haley, of being God's church, what is the bottom line? We must be having communion with God through prayer every day because we live and dwell in his kingdom, which is unshakable. The first step in developing a prayer life is calling upon God for salvation. We can't live a consistently sinful lifestyle and expect God to hear our prayers. God hears the prayers of people who put their trust in him. In God's mercy, not our goodness, that determines the basis for answered prayer. When we do pray, we can wait in eager anticipation for God to work on our behalf. God does answer prayers that do align with his will, whether it be someone living or not living. It's his will. God will say no to our prayers if we ask something for the wrong reason or for the wrong purpose. We can surrender our will to God in complete confidence that He knows what's best for me, for us, for everyone. It's not how much we have that matters, but who Jesus is in our life and the faith that we have in Him. The prayers of godly Christians work. We are in communion with God. God knows what's best for you, but because sin separates us from Him, we have to turn to His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for your sins. When you do, the barrier is removed, and God hears your prayer. A verse that I saw just this morning says, see if I can find it, says, the Lord is close to everyone who prays to Him, to all who truly pray to Him. May I call you today to join us in the adventure of prayer. Nothing draws us closer to the heart of God than being in communion with God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share my heart and to share words that I hope are the message of Your heart with these fine people today. We would ask that prayer would cover them in all things they do. I would ask that prayer would just dwell in this house, and that everybody who walks through here would be in Your kingdom, living for You and feeling the abundance and joy of Your love. Thank You, Lord, for a great day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.